If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Thank you. You've been listening to Dopapod and Black Holes from their self-titled album, due out May 27th. It's incredibly difficult to describe the awesome music Dopapod makes. Is it rock, funk, progressive rock? I honestly have no clue anymore. And the forthcoming self-titled release, the band's seventh, is a potpourri of sonic goodness. This new album, due out May 27th, has been in the works for a while now, probably dating back to when the band came off their self-imposed layoff that ended in late April of 2019. Needless to say, the COVID pandemic created another break, but at that point, the band was already well-versed on being apart and off the road. So when I caught up with Rob Compa, the band's guitar player, we had a lot to talk about, including the band's really great new album. It's been a while since we've heard from Dopapod. I remember you did a show April 27th, 2019, I believe, which was to be the resurrection of Dopapod after a bit of a hiatus. And fortunately, that came just before the pandemic and everything started to go haywire. I guess the obvious question is, how did you pull it together and remain together as a band through the pandemic?
It's funny because a lot of people probably assume that going on a planned break, as we did in 2018, that we would just kind of be like just getting started, which is true, you know, and then the pandemic would happen and you might kind of think like, well, that's it. That's, what are you going to do after that? It actually kind of was a good thing that we had already done a break, because when the pandemic happened, we were all, you know, our managers are like, all right, no gigs, you're not playing anything. And rather than, I mean, a lot of other bands were like, oh my God, what are we going to do? Oh my God. And we were like, we just did this. We can do it again. You know what I mean? Like, we already know we can survive if we need to without the band. So if anything, it was kind of good because nobody freaked out, really. Because we'd already done this, you know? Right. And we had already spent like a year and a half finding other ways to survive and to thrive creatively. So I think we almost had like unknowingly gone through pandemic college leading up to the pandemic, if that makes any sense, you know?
Totally, yeah. You had a lot of experience already doing this sort of thing.
Yeah.
How did and how did you guys decide to put together the seventh full-length offering, which is a self-titled offering?
Yeah.
What was the impetus to put that record together, to put this record together, rather, during the pandemic?
Well, we kind of didn't have a choice because we had already started it before the pandemic. So I mean, it's not like we weren't going to put it out, you know. I will be un-Blair Witching in a second, by the way. Yeah. I'm sorry about that.
No worries.
We had already started it probably like maybe 2 weeks before everything just stopped, you know? So, and it wasn't really that, like, you know, we recorded basics, which means you're really just trying to get good drum takes if nothing else when you do that. And then you can build everything else on top of that. But so we had all of those. So it's kind of like the hardest part was over and we could take as long as we wanted to finish the rest of it. There was no hurry, but there was also, even though there was no real time constraint to put it out, there also was sort of like, it was like, well, we've already started it, so we have to finish it. We don't know when. We don't really care when, but someday we got to finish this thing. So, I don't think the four of us were in a room together again for probably a year and a half or something. I don't remember exactly how long. We would all kind of like one or two of us would be together here and there. So we could sort of chip away at it that way. Because like I said, like all the stuff where we would play all four of us, that part of the album making process was done. So, right. So we could kind of just do like like me and Eli would meet up at More Sound Studio in Syracuse. And I mean, there were a couple times where we even canceled because we were like, I don't know, man, I feel kind of sick, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, we just kind of like chipped away at it.
Well, when you say you chipped away at it, so you have these basic structures, these basic ideas for songs, and you all work democratically on these songs, and you all sort of provide songwriting or elements to these songs. When you say chip away at it, is it a matter of doing some overdubs, working on some solos, whether they're yours or Eli's? Like, is that what you mean by chip away at it?
Yeah, all of that stuff. Yeah. I can think of a couple of times where we were on group phone calls with like a Google spreadsheet open with lyrics. And we figured out a way where like we could all type and like change around the lyrics and see what one another was changing in real time. So it was like kind of, there really wasn't that much in a lyric writing sense that we couldn't do compared to if we were in person, you know? As far as musically, that's a lot harder, I think. But I can think of a few, like I went over to one session in Syracuse where maybe there was like 2 or 3 days where we just did nothing but guitar. It was just layers, you know, redo any solos. A few of them, I just kept what was in the scratch tape because I liked them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we would sit around and like just build all that stuff. And then vocals are always like, that's always like kind of a big moment of the album. Like, me and Eli went to Syracuse for another session where both of us like sang our vocal parts. And, typically I think whenever those get put on the album, that's when it starts to sound like something you would actually show people, uh-huh. You know?
Yeah.
Before that, it's kind of like, you're like, are we really making an album here? Like, or are we, what is this? You know? And then once vocals are on it, then you're like, oh, I can't wait to show this to my mom and dad, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So the answer is yes to all of the above, you know, it was all of those things that happen on top of sort of the, you know, the protein, you know?
What I find fascinating about the band and about your music is every band and every member of a band has diverse influences, and you know, they'll do a bluegrass track on a record, and then they'll do a funk track on a record, and then they'll do their ode to Pink Floyd on a record, or their ode to Funkadelic on a record. That's thrown out by Dopapod. You do all of that shit in one song. Like, I'm thinking of, you know, I listened to the whole record, and you know, Velcro, Enough, and like, these are, and I think it's Ebb and Flow, which is like, might as well be a Pink Floyd tune to a certain degree, where there's that, I think it's Ebb and Flow, where there's that very spacey breakdown, and you on guitar, where it could be David Gilmour. Like, it's, I think it's Ebb and Flow. Is it Ebb and Flow, or is it Enough?
It could be Enough, because Enough, I deliberately made a middle section that I was like, I want this to be like pre-Dark Side of the Moon Pink Floyd. That's, you know,
exactly what it was like exactly what it was. So Enough, yeah, like so,
something that sounds like it could be Obscured by Clouds or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so talk to me about how all of these influences get put into a blender and don't come out as individual songs, but come out, the influences come out in every single song in such a profound way.
I don't think it, with us at least, like, we don't try to do that on purpose. I think it's just like the kind of a residual effect of democracy, you know? That just has to happen because everybody is allowed to be themselves. So if I'm a David Gilmour nut, I mean, you know, I have the freedom to like make guitar parts, you know? or at least in maybe a solo or something. Sometimes on somebody else's song, there's already a made up part, you know, but it's never completely like it. This is the part. Don't change a thing. Like everybody changes little things around. So if everybody's entitled to do that, it's kind of just, that's going to be a side effect. You know, I kind of think if anything, I like the way we're doing it now. We're doing what you're talking about, but I'm finding that it's a little subtler than maybe in the past where it was like, we want an A section that's this, and then all of a sudden we're going to hit you in the face with a B section that sounds like a totally different thing. Like, that's a young person's game right there. As we get a little older, I feel like there's a little more cohesiveness to it, but still you can hear everybody's influences in over the course of one song, you know? Well, it doesn't even necessarily have to be like the actual structure of the song or of a section that makes that influence happen. It can be as simple as a tone somebody used on their instrument that can give that impression of paying homage to another band or another style of music, you know? So a lot of times it doesn't even have to, I mean, we only have 12 notes to work with. There's only so many of them. So a lot of times it's more just the inflection of someone's voice or the inflection of how they're touching their instrument in that take or the tone that they decided to use. Little things like that can make like way huger of a difference than I realized when I was younger, you know?
I guess what ultimately happens is by the potpourri and the democracy of it all, you ultimately come up with your own sound. Like this is the Dopapod sound now at this point. It's not about Primus or Pink Floyd or any of the other influences. This is what Dopapod sounds like. Like this is the band, and we're going to start influencing other bands because up-and-comers, because this is what Dopapod sounds like at this point.
I would love for that to be the case. I don't know if it is, but yeah, I mean, I'll read a lot of interviews with other musicians who I look up to, and I feel like a lot of times I'll see musicians talk about like how to be, they're like, how do you find your own voice? Or like, this is a big thing with guitar players in particular, is like a lot of guitar players have the goal of like, I want you to know who I am within three notes of hearing me, you know, which is kind of funny because that statement is such a cliche one that it's kind of like, if we're all trying to accomplish that, then are we all gonna, you know, I've never really like had the ability to deliberately have a sound. I just kind of like played with my friends so much and so often that if we do have a sound or something of our own to say, it's just kind of happened accidentally over and organically over the course of 15 years or whatever. And I kind of, the best I could ever do in terms of like having something unique to say, at least in the past, now it's changing a little bit where I actually do have some specific, like, I'm just talking on a personal level. As far as the band, I'll answer that in a second. But on a personal level, like the best I could do in the past is just be open-minded to so many other influences, other guitar players, other styles, that if I learn enough, if I learn a little bit about all of them, it kind of turns into this kind of indiscernible thing. You know, like,
well, that's like Rob Compa then, right? I mean, that yeah. Indiscernible thing then is you.
Yeah. It's the sum of all these influences or something, you know? I think recently I'm a little more like on the tip of like, I'm not looking outward for influence anymore. I'm kind of just looking inward a little more and trying, cause I spent so long like learning other people's solos and getting inspiration from them, and kind of in the last year or so that started to get boring.
Yeah.
You know? So now I'm kind of like finding ways to just like, if I didn't hear any music at all, what would I want to play? You know? And trying to channel that, which has been fun, you know? I mean, to like start to get used to the idea that, like, who cares what somebody else has done and, like, what the textbook is on what's supposed to work. Like, what do you like and what do you want to hear be played? That's kind of where I want to explore, you know, hopefully.
Do you think the rest of the guys feel similarly about the instruments they play, that at this point influence is not as important as actually just playing as Eli or playing as Jonesy? Like, is that where it is at this point?
I think we got lucky because it, rather than, and I tried to do this before Dopapod, when I wanted to start a band before that, and I tried so many times before we found this, you know, I would be like, well, I need like three or four other people who all want to do exactly where we all want to do the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that actually doesn't really, I mean, you can do that and that's great. I mean, at the end of the day, you should just do what's going to make you happy. But we got lucky because all four of us liked totally different things.
Yeah.
So, with that combined with sort of a democratic attitude about writing and creating music, I think we were able to like make something a little personal just because of those factors, you know? I mean, like Neil's a metalhead and Eli loves like funk and like kind of like fusion-y stuff,
mm-hmm.
and like old 70s prog rock. And then I love like the band and country music and like folk.
Yeah.
And then Chuck's like into like punk rock and Primus. There are some similar, like there are things that all four of us love. We all love Pink Floyd. We all love John Scofield and Modesty Martin and Wood. There are things that we all love, but
sure.
I think that we had totally different influences and that we disagreed on some things. Like, I could talk to Neil all day about Fish. I'm not going to convince him to like Fish. He doesn't like them.
Right.
I think that kind of helped us, you know?
I think you forgot one of your influences, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there's a lot of blues guitar on this record, I find. There's a lot of blues lines and a lot of blues influence in certain places, and I don't know if that's the Gilmore thing again, but I definitely hear some of that.
It could be, you know. Some of that too is just holding a different guitar brings different things out of you. And I finally in the last 2 or 3 years started using kind of Stratocaster style guitars. And that just sort of happens when you play one of those, right. You know?
Right.
It just comes out. But I totally, just like a lot of other people, I mean, like I grew up with Stevie Ray Vaughan and maybe not like the purest blues, like maybe not all, I wasn't a nut. I didn't go all the way back. Although I did have like, you know, every guitar player, I almost think it's required listening to check out Robert Johnson at least, which is,
right.
You know, that it's almost as far back as you can go. But yeah, my dad hooked me up with a lot of records that might've been on that tip, like the first Dire Straits album is a really big one for me.
So I thought of that too. Like I thought of, yeah, totally. I totally heard some of that.
Which,
like,
I mean, if you play a Strat and don't use a pick, like, I mean, you'll at least have one or two Mark Knopfler licks probably show up, you know?
Yeah. And that isn't to say you don't make them your own, but there is a sense of comfort, I think, in some of those licks and thinking about now it, you know, like I'm a music geek. So I hear that stuff. Other people probably will just think, oh, the Rob is really cool and doing all kinds of different things. But I guess it depends who the audience is, but you know, as somebody who is a bit of a geek, I picked up on a lot of, you know, the Knopfler stuff, the Gilmore stuff. There's so many influences and it's so crazy because even with all of those influences and even with it all being so different, it does come together in a very cohesive package, which is interesting because of the Black Hole lyrics, you know, all for one and one for all, you'll never fly till you learn to fall into black hole.
Like yeah.
All for one and one for all, that sums up this band in in just 6 or 7 words, right? I mean, really?
I think maybe not even just this band, but just the idea of being in a band and how you make a band last for a long time. That's kind of how it'll work, you know? Maybe not the kind of band where it's like constantly people coming in and out and changing lineups and stuff, where there's maybe like one sort of person in charge. But if you're going to keep, you know, essentially the same group of guys together for a really long time, like that might be the only way you're going to achieve it, is that mentality, you know?
Why the decision to make this a self-titled record as your 7th record, 15 years in? What was the decision to make this Dopapod record?
That would be an Eli thing. I always thought it'd be really badass to like just name an album Dopapod. I still want to call an album Palindrome someday and break our palindrome habit. I just think that'd be funny. But he was like, oh, this should be the one we call Dopapod because there's 7 letters in Dopapod and it's our 7th studio album. And to be honest, I think Eli's probably come up with every band name we've ever, or every album name we've ever done, because he's the palindrome nut. The rest of us are, you know, I'm not really sitting around thinking about him much, you know. So when he said that, I was like, yeah, sure, call it whatever you want. I just care what songs are on it and if we make good versions of them. Yeah, you know.
Speaking of that palindrome thing, Grow was released on February 20th, 22. That must have been on purpose too, right?
I'm sure it was. Yeah. You know, I sort of like, much to my, like, I'm a little embarrassed to admit this, but I'm happy it's just like playing guitar and leaving all those logistical things out of the way. Because I almost feel like there's just people way better suited to take care of that.
Was that the case too with the album folding out to be a board game? Was that an Eli thing too, or somebody more creative?
No, that was a little bit from everybody at first. And then once it really started to get involved on like specific things, like what the board would look like and what the rules of the game would be. Then I sort of was like, I'll leave it to you guys. Like, I don't want too many cooks in the kitchen, but at the initial outset, I think the idea to have a board game was Eli's, because Luke, our old lighting guy, was designing Dungeons and Dragons like game boards for people. That was like his new thing he was doing.
Wow.
So it was kind of like, we were like, how could we not do this? This is going to, you know, like we have a guy who knows how to do this. And then, you know, everybody had like little bits of things to throw in. I think my one bit of input was like, I was like, well, what if we like tie it into all of our past albums? So it's like almost like the board game is like traveling through time to our other albums or something.
Yeah.
It's
a dope idea, man.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. And then once they started getting more specific than that, I was like, all right, let me know when it's done, you know? And I even like Luke, even at one point was like kind of expressed that he was grateful that I had a policy of maybe not having too many cooks in the kitchen for that stuff, you know, because there's just so many, sometimes there's just so many ideas flying around. It's better to like step out of the way, you know.
The album comes out May 27th. We've already heard that you've announced some summer tour dates.
Yeah.
And you'll be supporting, well, George Clinton.
That must be
an unbelievable thrill for all four of you, because I would imagine Funkadelic is one of those bands where all four of you have some influence and have some appreciation.
Yeah, I would say so. Maybe not as with me. I don't like, I'm not an expert on the whole story of P-Funk and all of that.
Yeah.
But it can't not be an influence if you play anything with a funky backbeat ever. Right. So, I honestly just sort of like when they asked us to do it, I wasn't even like I kind of, my vote was yes. Everybody's vote was yes, but mine was specifically yes. Cause I was like, I just like, what am I going to say no to this? Like, yeah. I want to be able to tell my grandkids I did that, you know? I kind of just want the experience, you know? We're kind of ready for it to be weird in terms of what we're used to in a dopapod realm, you know?
Yeah.
Going to play a very short set. We don't know what kind of, like, I don't know if the people who are going to watch us are going to be like used to like a band that plays like long jams, you know, but we kind of don't care. It's just, I think we're just like, this is just like too cool of a thing to not do, you know? So we're really looking forward to it. It's almost like more play than work, I think.
Yeah, totally.
Looking at it. It should be like that all the time. It is called playing music after all, you know?
Yeah. And lots of opportunity to be on festival dates again and just hanging out with friends. I mean, that must be exciting too, not just to get out on the road with your brothers in the band, but to get out and see people that you probably haven't seen in quite some time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that still keeps happening where I'm like, I feel like I've probably seen everybody that I missed for 2 years at this point, but it's never true. Like I always run into somebody else where I'm like, oh my God, I haven't like, and then we'll talk for a minute and realize we haven't seen each other since like 2019 or 18 or something. So, which isn't that long ago, but it kind of is after all of that, you know?
Well, also when you spend, you know, when you don't see these people a lot anyway to begin with, and then you don't see them for a long period of time, it feels like even longer probably. 15 years in, 7 records in, after a planned hiatus and then a hiatus that was heaped upon the band, do you think that this is the most comfortable you guys have been in the dopapod skin and in what you guys are doing at this point?
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like we're the least concerned about what other people think than we've ever been. And I think that's kind of when we're at our best, you know, is when we're just kind of not worried about success or about, I should phrase it this way. I feel like we're at our best when we care about what each other think more than what everybody else thinks, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's when it feels the most right to us. And I kind of even remember like, I mean, this was even before the pandemic, like when we first came back after like that first hiatus. I mean, we only played, I don't know, maybe like 12 shows in that entire time. But I remember one day Chuck being like, I feel like we just figured out how to be a band like this year. Like he said, I feel like we just became a real band this year, you know?
Right.
Cause like, you almost like, you really gotta like go through some shit together, you know? And then we went through even more shit together, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's almost like, you know, when you're young and you haven't been doing it that long, it seems pretty straightforward. You're like, okay, we're 4 dudes and then we meet up and we write these songs and we play them in front of people. And as you get older and you go through all this stuff together, it really doesn't even have as much to do with that as just like taking care of each other. And I feel like we're at that point now where it's really like something that's, I don't know if there's a way I could put words to it that would make perfect sense, you know?
There's a maturing probably of the 4 of you, right? To the point where the outside influence isn't as important. It's more about how you guys feel about what you're doing and probably making cool music that you guys identify with is probably at this point the most important thing rather than all the other shit.
Yeah. Man, even the music, it's like secondary to like taking care of each other, you know?
Right.
Like if we take care of each other and if we make sure that all of us are in a good place, or if we're not in a good place, that's fine. Just be there for whoever's in that situation. That supersedes everything else, like even the music, honestly, you know? And it has to supersede it because that's the only way, like that actually is how you make good music together.
Right.
So you actually are sort of killing two birds with one stone by doing that, you know? And it's when you're younger, you're almost like, well, I'll be happy if we play good music. And then as you get older, it flip flops, I think. Like if we take care of each other and are there for each other through hard times and just support each other, we'll make better music, or it won't even be better. We'll just be happier with it, whatever it is.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So it's an ongoing organism, Dopapod, at this point. Are you all thinking of new ideas? Do you all jot down ideas and then share them? How does that process work when you decide, well, it's time to make, I mean, this record has obviously been 3 years in the making. How do you decide when you're gonna collaborate and put all the stuff that you've been working on individually together into Dopapod, into another record? Is that even a thought at this point?
Do you mean like do we know when we're gonna make another one right now? Do you mean that?
Have you even considered it?
Yeah, we have. We have a bunch of new songs, and we even like when we were in Denver, we kind of like booked this sort of like rehearsal time to like write and potentially record some stuff, because we do have some new, even newer songs than what are on this album, you know?
Yeah.
And we're also, this album took so long to make that we're like kind of like we've already moved on from it, even though it's about to be new to everybody else. Like it's old to us, you know? Yeah. So I think we've already made the decision we want to make another one. I don't know if we're ready to record it yet, but it's definitely on our minds. And the point when like something, I don't know if there's necessarily a deliberate point where we decide like a piece of music is like, this is definitely got to be a Dopapod song and we should all collaborate on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just show people stuff and you can tell when people are enthusiastic about it and when they aren't, and the stuff they're not enthusiastic about, like maybe it just becomes something else, you know, maybe it becomes a piece of, maybe you take one piece of that and it becomes something else. There's no way to know because it's not formulaic. It's not supposed to be.
Yeah, so, I get it.
Yeah.
And you've been playing these songs on the road. I know your show just a couple of days ago, last week, actually, you know, you played Black Holes, you played Grow, you played Fanny, like you're playing these tunes, and I assume the audience is eating it all up. Your audience is always eating it all up.
Yeah, we played Grow for the first time this past weekend. Not Grow, Black Holes.
Yeah.
Grow is actually a really old song. I mean, we all felt like we got a really good response from Black Holes, and I kind of like can't, I know if we play that a lot, like I can tell that's going to be like one that has kind of big jams in it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just at a tempo that's like pretty relentless and like it's high energy and it's fun. Like I could see that being like a show opener or a closer, you know, or I could see it being in the middle of a show and being 25 minutes long, you know, but it won't get there till it's ready. Like we won't even decide when that happens, you know?
But ultimately it will be something like Present Ghosts where people will be listening for it and want to hear it, your fans. Right?
Maybe, I don't know. I just know how we feel about it is like, I can tell we already have fun playing it.
Yeah.
So it's, if usually songs that we play a lot, those are the ones that end up taking on the life of their own most, because you just chalk up a lot of hours playing it, and then eventually you get tired of the arrangement and change it. Like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's just sort of like, it's going to happen. If you play it too many times, you're going to have to find new ways to make it new and fresh for yourself. I could see that being one of those, but only time will tell, I suppose. Fanny is like, I feel like that is strictly just for us, you know?
Really? Because like, it's so fun. Like, it's so fun.
I love it. It's all four of our favorite song on that album, actually.
Really? Yeah.
Just because it's weird, you know? And like, I actually kind of think we learned a lot in that song. Like, it's only got three chords in the entire thing, and we're a band that historically overcomposes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of like, wow, look at that. You don't need that much, you know?
It's almost Primus-like, I think, in many ways, that tune.
Oh, cool. Thank you. And we all, you know what I like about that one is that we, Eli and I kind of met up and wrote the lyrics for it, and the lyrics that are on the album were just meant to be like we're like, okay, well, let's just write lyrics down as fast as we can just so that it has something like filler. And then we ended up keeping it because it was so funny and weird.
Yeah.
That like, it reminds me of like a really bizarre Seinfeld episode or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, we all like that one a lot. I feel like that one might be what you're thinking about with like the more blues tinged.
There is a little bit of that. Yeah. There's a few times. I mean, I don't know if it's the Knopfler thing or the guilt, but there's a lot. It's good. It's all good. Like I really, really love the record. Like a lot.
Thank you. David Gilmour would probably be my biggest guitar guy too. That one's like probably pretty obvious, I guess, as an influence.
Now it is Rob Compa. It's no longer David Gilmour. It's Rob, thanks. And it's Dopapod. Thank you so much for taking the time, dude. Really appreciate it. Continued success. And we hope to catch you on the road real soon. All right.
Thank you. I hope so.
For more on Dopapod, including tour dates, visit dopapod.com. Before we leave you, let's listen to another track off of Dopapod's forthcoming self-titled record. Here is Grow. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.